Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is the Sound Health Options Happy Hour Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening. I used to be so jealous of people who lived in California like you, Richard, but you're 27 degrees and we're 65.
Right. It's not 27 now, but this morning it was 27. Yeah, I don't know. And yet the deniers are still claiming there's no environmental change going on. There's nothing happening. Everything's just fine. We can make more money off of burning polluted coal. Whoops, I didn't mean to start out of the gate. Sorry.
I think one of the things we point up to people every week is that things are different and people are different. We're on the different side of the U.S. We ought to get a third party, like from Australia or something, and
wow,
just do the shows with a threesome, that they're upside down from our time, so it'd probably be hard. But welcome, everybody, to Happy Hour. We are going to be taking audience participation questions today. This is going to be a show that was requested, not something I would have ever thought about doing as a show, but I'm very happy to be doing it. It's going to be about energy and your body's energy, the universe's energy, and how you can see it and use it to explain your health. We are simultaneously broadcasting, as I'm munching on a piece of chocolate here. Richard's over at Blog Talk, 347-850-1407, and that's going to be audio. And for this show, you probably want the video as well, because we're going to be doing a lot with auras and colors and health and just energy in general. But before we take off on that project, Richard, do you have any announcements?
I do, but first I'll remind everybody, for those on Blog Talk Radio who are hearing this, you can go to soundhealthoptions.com, click on the radio tab, then click on Happy Hour, and there's a page there and links to either open up the WebEx feed, which is what Sherry's managing, that chat room, and also showing you the things, so there's a link there. And if you want to join me over at Blog Talk Radio, as Sherry said, you can call 347-850-1407, and you can listen. I kind of like to listen to Blog Talk and watch at WebEx, because I like the audio quality at Blog Talk is usually pretty darn good. And there's also a chat for those that have Blog Talk accounts, which are free, to log in over at Blog Talk Radio and join chat with me. And now, an editorial of sorts by me. More an observation / editorial. There's a lot of conversation going on about putting in back doors into various systems. The government is saying, well, we need to have the back door to AT&T, or we need, I'm just making up the vendors, we need to have a back door access so that we can get into, I don't know what, Target, as they say. I'm just making up whatever the thing is that they're saying. And the game is that, and this is by my own research and by listening to security experts, if you put a back door in, that is a back door. That is a back door for intelligent hackers to get into. In other words, you're making a gateway, and it's like putting a lock on a gate. Somebody is going to figure out how to pick that lock. So if you put that back door in, you make it that much easier for somebody else to gain access. I know the government is all like, no, we're super secure. We know how to manage this. Let's refer to the 6 million government employees whose IDs were hacked, complete with Social Security numbers, signatures, scans, fingerprints. There's that. There's other things I could talk about. But, a back door is a back door. And if you put it in there, if the government makes somebody put in a back door, that's just making it that much easier for hackers to break in. So the only real security is to not have back doors. This is the opinion part, is to not have back doors and to go back to sort of that old school, like, go to a judge, get him to sign that paper, search and seizure,
you know,
all that kind of stuff. Go ahead.
This is right around now. I can't remember the exact data, but the government is not allowed to just go collect your data now. They can only look at metadata that the phone companies have, and if they want to look at anything else, they have to get a warrant or declare an emergency. You know, that's one of the things that Edward Snowden started. He's the one that reported that, and here's all of this hullabaloo about it, and I don't think they should have access to everything I want to say, but I wouldn't care if they did, because I'm not saying anything that's not true, but I'm pretty sure that they could twist it and make it seem like something else if they wanted to do me in.
Yeah.
Don't know. But one of the,
go ahead.
We're keeping track of the presidential people, and Marco Rubio just announced that he is going to go after Snowden as a traitor, and Snowden is the one that stood up for our rights to not allow the government into our phone conversations and our email conversations. So he lost my vote.
Well, and as we were talking backstage, that's such a tricky thing, because I think people are looking at Trump as a role model in a sense of looking at how he gets amazing media attention because he's just willing to blurt out whatever comes into his mind at the moment. And they're seeing how that works. So I think a lot of the candidates, or a number of the candidates, are beginning to do that same thing, like, let's pick a subject that's controversial that'll get me some press. And it's all about the media spin rather than people like Bernie, who's actually just standing up there barking like a dog about things, actual things, instead of,
what I like about Bernie is what you see is what you get. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not a polished, appearance?
Would call it a polished appearance.
He
doesn't really have a media savvy kind of, he's really just up there speaking like an old school politician talking about things, whereas everybody else is trying to find something that's going to get them attention, that's going to move them up in the polls, whether they're being whether they're being a jerk or not. That they are moving up in the polls. It's all about media recognition versus actually getting out there trying to make an actual point. Like when Bernie speaks, like you said, this is him, this is it, there's no polish, this is it. Which is, he's speaking great information.
One of the things being brought up in the chat over here on Blog Talk Radio is that one of the things that Edward Snowden brought out is there was an agreement with a foreign country, and I don't remember which one it was, but we can't spy on our people, so we'll spy on yours, and we'll give you the data we collect on your people if you'll give us the data that you collect on us. So it's kind of round the bend anyway.
Well, and I'm not sure if that has been actually stopped as well. So we're not going to, so theoretically... Well, that's a whole other show. They've stopped collecting data, but what about all the data they have? Has that been wiped? Has that been destroyed? Has that been thrown away and never to be found again? Have those hard drives been destroyed or reformatted under somebody's actual, guise? Or is that just we'll just keep this data, but we're not going to gather any more? Which leads me into a
strange subject here, but I love it.
Okay, well, I have one further. This will be a little longer. I'll make it as quickly as I can, but it has to do with a thing about the U.S. Postal Service. So the article is titled, I'll put this in both chats, "The U.S. Postal Service is Spying on Us." And these are some quotes out of the article. What makes this program particularly dangerous is that there is no judicial oversight, no appeals process, and no way of knowing why any one person is under surveillance or when the surveillance began or will end. The Postal Service doesn't have to answer to anybody, attorneys, judges, even its own inspector general. It doesn't need a warrant to spy on us or your family, and it doesn't have to answer even to a member of Congress who might inquire as to why the spying was happening in the first place. So this is another example of our government. You know, I believe that the Postal Service, even though it's run independently, is still a government agency. So they're just doing whatever they want. They're collecting data as fast as they can. So there's that.
Who sends stuff through the Postal Service anymore?
Well, all of our, you know, 90% of the people paying bills are still paying something, get some kind of piece of paper or documents that you need to have a physical copy of or passing through the Postal Service. So they're collecting, they've been doing this for quite a while. They collect your sending address and your return address. So they just collect that as like a habitual, like, oh, yeah, we just keep this.
That's the way they're busting people around here who are growing marijuana in their homes. Any big spike in your electric bill, you get turned into the police.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all about energy, which leads me to The Hunger Games. Have you watched those movies?
I haven't.
It is astounding how much they are like what is going on politically in the United States right now. Now, the result of it and all the killing is a little harsh to watch. But if you look at this, it's like Joan of Arc, a modern-day Joan of Arc, coming down on a central government that, one, tries to keep people from integrating with each other, which means probably the internet to be busted. They try to keep everyone poor and hungry and weaponless. It's the new one, the number 4, is out in the theaters this week. But go back, find it on YouTube or whatever, look at the others. The second one, I think, is the best one to get a gist of what the story is, that there's this central government that, because people rose up, they divided everything into sections with only a few people in these sections, and each section has to serve the central government by whatever's in their section, and they have to give up 12 people a year to die in some barbaric games like ancient Rome. Jennifer Lawrence plays the lead in it. And there's another little girl named Rue that is just really a sweetheart. But watch that. It is really chilling how similar it is. They withhold medical care. They withhold food and seeds and everything else. And, you know, this is one of the ways that we're trying to work with people to get them to go inside and look at where they are and what their energy is and how they can have dominion over it. So, Hunger Games, I highly recommend that. It's addictive. Yes, it is a series. Mockingbird 2, or Mockingjay 2, is in the theaters now. Any more announcements, Richard?
No, I'll stop.
Okay.
Let's get to the happy part of happy hour.
Well, we're going to talk about energy and color. And color is a form of energy. And aroma is a part of energy. And taste is a part of energy. It's also a part of frequency. So we have this incredible universe that is all based on frequency. And in the beginning, and this is what I just am astounded by, you know, when you plop two pebbles into a pond and they create a sort of a round vortexy kind of wave form?
Mm-hmm.
And they intersect and make another wave form? Well, people do that with music. Susan Alexandra has done something called sequentia, and she starts very simply with 4 notes. And she adds 2 notes together, and she gets a 3rd note. And then she adds and subtracts those notes until she's got all the notes in this very simple at the beginning to very profound, complex thing at the end. It's music. It's our music that we've created in octaves and scales and all of that. The same thing is happening at the beginning. You know, they say the Big Bang. I want to see it as something else. If you look at the frequencies, and that's what we do here at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, we look at the frequencies of things. So if you add the frequency of water and nitrogen together, it equals oxygen. So if you could throw a pebble of water and a pebble of nitrogen together, it would create oxygen. And oxygen plus hydrogen equals water. And water minus oxygen equals hydrogen. I mean, it's incredible the way this emulates what mankind has done with music. And if you put a frequency with each one of these things, like a water is a D and nitrogen is an A sharp, and it ends up giving a C. This is one of the things that we look at. Think of not the Big Bang as some explosion with all the parts flying everywhere, but think of the Big Bang as a collision of these frequencies coming together at such a high or low octave, I don't know which one, that it actually created matter. Think about that. The universe became out of matter, and or out of non-reality into matter. And you've taken our courses, Richard. You know there's one section that's pre-physical, and so those very low frequencies come together to create physical things in the body. And Einstein says there's no solids. We exist in a universe that consists entirely of frequency. Einstein proved this. Frequency defines it. And I think we could go a step further and say frequency defines who and what we are. Now, we have something on our website called NanoVoice Downloads. And you can go to NanoVoice. And there you can look at number 2, and there is a note correlate chart there that gives you the note of C and what it represents in general terms, and C sharp and D. And you told me that you're a November 20th person. You're kind of right there on the cusp of Scorpio and Sag, I think. And what does that really mean as a birth note for you? Well, it ends up being your aura. Your aura, A-U-R-A, comes from O-R-A, meaning light. So there's lights around you just because there are frequencies being emanated from each of your cells. This is my aura, and you can see purple and blue and a big white streak that we're not sure what is. Looks like somebody's arm and elbow. Or it could look like a nostril. So we're not sure if God's snotting me out or I'm being protected under God's arm. But that's an interesting aura, an aura picture. No comment, Richard?
I've seen these. This must have been at a fair or something, because I've seen these Carillion photographs. I believe that's what that is, these cameras where they come to a number of the events that I attend, and they take these pictures, and it's always amazing to see what they show up, because it's not a flash or anything involved. It's actually looking at the energetic field, and it's very great. It's very cool technology.
It's about the energy of the body, where we're talking about the energy of a person from the very macro to the very microcosm. Most people who are in church say, well, I don't really believe in auras and that kind of thing. But almost any picture of Jesus or the Buddha will have an aura around it, light around it. What we're looking at now is just different pictures of the aura and humans and the hand and what's going on with it. And it's been with us for eons. So we're going to combine the ideas of what an aura really is, just energy and light, but at the same time look at it in terms of how it might influence or affect your health. So you're looking at now one of our NanoVoice printouts, and NanoVoice is a software available for you free on our site, soundhealthoptions.com. Go to downloads, and you can download the Tiny Nano manual, and you can download the note correlate chart. Thank you, Steve. Steve put a shortcut in the chat here so that you can download this chart of what each of these notes mean. And if you could look at this as if the note of B, this burgundy sort of lotus color, is at the top of the head, and then at the bottom of the trunk of your body is the C and C sharp, the gonads, the sexual issues. But each of these also have a frequency that corresponds to a note. So we're looking at C red, D orange, yellow E, green F, blue G. A is sort of violet, and it doesn't look like very much violet here on my screen. And then B is red violet, sort of magenta-ish. One of the things that people don't know, or I don't think they know, is that auras are energy centers. They're called chakras, but they're not energy centers as if you would think about something, a center where something comes from. It's almost like a shopping center, in the back door, out the front. And we've looked and worked with people who can see auras, and left and right-brained people see auras very differently. Where the aura on a left-brained person would be opposite for a right-brained person. So you have to take in brain dominance of how people are perceiving all of this. And we have a set of aura cards that teach you to see an aura without any psychic ability. And we've created these years ago, and they have supported our research for years and years. So anybody wants to order a set of these aura cards, let me just put the information in. A lot of times we give these away just for fun, just to see how everybody is working with their own energy. I think if you know your energy, you know what's going on with it, you're much more likely to be able to contain back off a little. You know where they're coming from. They're pretending to be angry. So there's a lot of things going on. Your aura is manifested through your skin. It's manifested through your eyes, through your nose, all through your words. It's all about frequency and what's going on with it. Auras can be great big. Auras can have little pieces of information in them. I looked at this woman's aura. This is when I was doing shows for the university, and there was a crutch in her aura, and I didn't want to predispose her to an accident in my God days, you know, thinking I'd had some power. So I asked her friend, would a crutch mean anything to her? She said her boyfriend broke his whoever that is, let me close it down. Thank you. So her boyfriend she'd been helping her boyfriend hobble around all day with that crutch, and it stuck in her aura, in her energy field. And the more you teach yourself to see an aura, and really everybody can see an aura, it's just visual acuity is very revered in our society, and you have to off-tune your eyes. And that's what these little set of aura cards are, how to off-tune your eyes as to what is going on. So we're going to play some games here, and I invite all of you to put information in the chats. I'll need your birthday and your favorite color. And we already had one come in, and it was from Lori. It's so far back. The chat is just really jumping like crazy. Okay. So we're going to look at that same, I don't know what this little thing is doing in there. It wasn't there a minute ago. See, there it went. We're going to look at the notes. C is red, C sharp is red, orange, D is orange, and this is just a painter's wheel. So Lori said, my favorite colors are blue, yellow, and orange. So orange and blue are opposites, and blue and yellow are opposites by light. So if she says blue first, that's dealing with minerals. And sometimes the immune system doesn't have enough minerals to do what it ought to do. But G-sharp is also somebody who's very particular about what happens to them. They want control. They want dominion. They won't take somebody else's word for it. You need to prove it to them. But the D right across the way is the liver that really controls the mineral usage and the enzyme usage along with the adrenals. And then the yellow, when she says orange and yellow together, when you have notes that are just two notes apart, it means there's something genetic. So there's something genetic about her that deals with the use of minerals and neurotransmitters. So if I knew her birthday, I could get a little bit more. The dozen of them came in now. But Lori didn't. Oh, she says May 1st. May 1st is a Taurus.
Before.
I'm sorry, what?
May 1st, 1974.
Okay, I really don't need the year. That's okay, though. But if we look at, that's a Taurus, right? May 1st. A Taurus is a C-sharp.
Yes.
And she likes the one right beside it, the orange. This means it's something genetic. And for those of you taking our courses, and there's a free one at the end of the week, a two-day course, you will learn how to see what the genetic issues are, whether it's nutritional. I would bet yours is liver in some way. Liver and minerals. So as we look at this, and we're not taking any kind of vocal print, we're just looking at the colors. You will crave colors, and people are colors. People, their auras. I don't have much D at all. My husband is a primary D, right on this C-sharp D, yellow-orange, or orange-red kind of thing. When his father died, and his father was a note of D, you couldn't see any outside effect at all from him. He wasn't upset. He didn't cry. His father had leukemia. They'd been expecting it for a long time. But in his vocal print, all of his note of D, his father's note, disappeared. I'd been married to this guy for 40 years, and I could not stand to be in the same room with him. He did not have my note of D. I couldn't stand for him to say good morning. So we invited our granddaughter over, who was a note of D, and she filled us out. He was missing his father's note. Even though he didn't show it emotionally, his being, his energy, his essence, his soul showed that lack of the note of D. There is so much that you can see in these little nano voice pieces of information. It is incredibly surprising. And it's because it is a frequency of a particular color. And I can't remember what red is, something like 10 to the negative 30th or something. But each of these colors has a corresponding frequency of visual acuity and perception. Each of these colors has a auditory perception. It's the difference in an octave. And an octave, real easy, is 10, 20, 40, 80, 160. Different octaves give you different layers and systems of the body. Richard told me that he really loves a particular kind of rock. What was the name of this rock, Richard?
Labradorite.
Labradorite, which is a beautiful bluish, greenish, kind of color, kind of right in here. Now, can you guess Richard's birthday? It's going to be the G, and if you'll look at your chart, we do have several charts about this. They're in the tutorials. I probably should just give you a link to those tutorials so you could go watch these and you can download a lot of these. Well, I don't see the tutorials there. Just go to Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O. I know I have this link. Hold on one second. Well, wouldn't you know it that I don't have it anywhere? Not even here do I have the link. Well, the tutorials have a lot more charts with a lot more information in them. Is Jeff Allen with us? Jeff, would you put the link for the tutorials? Someone has erased it off my notes here that I keep on the board. Jeff is the one that created these tutorials, and he's created some really incredible charts. They're very loaded with information, and I wish I had one here in front of me. Jeff, are you hearing me? Can you put that in the chat? Ah, he did. So I'm going to grab it and put it in here so everybody can see how nice these are. Tutorials about using each of our softwares. And in the Nano Voice, there are the new charts that he's created that are very, very nice. So the energy of a body makes a great deal of difference. So if we look at this G, neurotransmitters, use of minerals, and that's actually blue-green. What Lori liked was the blue, enzyme production, process of digestion. Also, it's opposite, six notes away. When you look at this in six notes away, this is the counterbalance to it. So if Richard is a G by birth, he's going to be attracted to Taurus and Gemini and Aries people because that's right across the wheel from him. Exactly across, it's going to be a Taurus, and that's usually a physical relationship. The note of C for him, one note back, would be a past life relationship that he was moving things forward. And his note of D sharp, a Cancer, would be like a reward for past good deeds. Have you had relationships with those signs, Richard?
With all of that. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. This is where I feel like I'm on the psychic hour with Sherry Edwards. It always makes me laugh because it's like, yes, yes, and oh, yes. I tried that as well. Thank you. Yes, all of that. So I'm on path. I'm on the right target. Now I just need the compatibility software, and maybe I can figure it out.
We do have the compatibility software up. Do you think we should do a drawing and give one away?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay, we'll do that. How about each of you call up your friends and say, Sherry is giving away compatibility software. See if I can find it. C-O-M-P-A-T-I-B-I-L-I-T-Y. Compatibility compass. Oh, it came up over here. And we can talk into it. Let's open somebody up. We might be doing that. Well, those are just test things, so they don't count. But it gives you a printout of what kind of a person you would be in a relationship and even what you're going to be looking for. We're going to be doing a summit about this next week. So if any of you want to join us there. But the compatibility of who you get along with. And it's based on what you're attracted to. And Lori asks, what would a Taurus be attracted to? A Taurus would be attracted to a Scorpio, but that might be a little too mind-bending because Scorpios tend to keep to themselves and want to know what's going on with your mind, but they don't share their own stuff easily. So if it's just a physical relationship, it's probably going to be a Scorpio. It's probably going to be an early relationship. And if you want to look at one note back, some karmic relationship, it's going to be a Libra, F sharp. And if you want to look at some reward relationship, Capricorn. Only Tauruses usually drive Capricorns crazy because Capricorns is always wanting to redo something and make it better and reorganize it, where a Taurus wants things to stay the way they are. You know, when we talked about this drawing, I should let people know that Barbara Lyons, if you're on with us, and Mark Richards, they won the drawings for Jill's book, and we've tried to reach out to them to send them the book to get an address, but we've not been able to reach either one of them so we could send the book. And if they don't get in touch with us soon, we're going to put everybody's name back in a hat and draw again. Okay, there's a lot of people who sent me their information. Mark, he was born 10/23, right on that cusp. So does that make him a Capricorn to be born 10/23? I know we have a chart of this. So that would make him a blue, and he says he likes blue, green, blue, and violet. So he likes everything right around his own sign. And when that happens, and you like things right next to you, that usually means that you are left-brained, but more whole-brained than left-brained, just whole-brained with a little left-brain bent. And if you're going to have an issue, it's going to be an issue with genetics. Hello?
Hello, this is
Mark. Okay, speak up. I can't hear you.
Okay, is that better?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay, I'm just trying to find the microphone on my computer. I think I'm actually not Capricorn, Scorpio Libra.
You're Scorpio Libra, so you're over here.
Yeah. Well,
and you like these notes. Isn't 10 Scorpio October?
I think Scorpio is 24 or 23 of October into November, and I think Libra is 24.
Let's see if I can find a chart that tells us. Trials, colors, August. See if I can find a chart here with this in it, so I don't keep making the same mistakes here. Okay. But it doesn't have the colors to it. I'll just keep this in mind. So you're right there on the cusp. Whoops, I lost the chart. This cusp. Do you consider yourself a Libra or a Scorpio? A Libra gives in to other people and what they need, and a Scorpio is a mental explorer. So which would you consider you?
I would say I have both of those characteristics.
Both of them. Libras really will put themselves out for other people. They love peace. They love to know that everybody else is okay. And so you like the blues and the blue violets. Again, we're looking at something genetic, the blue being neurotransmitters and the violet being the immune system. Do you have any particular issues?
Not at this point. Not that I'm really thinking of at this moment.
Well, one of the things that people can do is to go to that Sound Health option and download the little nano voice. Now, some people get confused here. Whoops, I got the wrong one. That the colors of the nano when you talk into this and all of these colors come up, this means that I am very emotional, and the note of F, Virgo, I've never shown up as a Virgo, so I don't know what's going on there. But this shows your general disposition, like yellow is intellectual and the green is do and achieve and red is react. So I'm mostly emotional here. But each of these colors then has their own. So for F, it's a light yellow-green. And here it is with burgundy. And F and B together are opposites of each other. So it says if I have an issue, if we look at the F and B on that chart, the F and the B right across from each other, that indicates that I have some physical issue with an organ or a broken bone or something like that. So you can look at each of these pieces and see what's going on. This is a little nano program that will do all this for you, and it'll give you a printout. Didn't want that. I don't want to save it. It'll give you a printout of what this says, just like the little compatibility compass. Now, if any of you do not want to be part of that drawing, let me know. We don't want to force anything on you. We got in trouble with that before. We sent people computer programs and books and things, and they didn't want it, and they turned us in for sending them stuff they didn't want. It was free, so I don't know what they were trying to do. Okay, other people who have sent in their stuff. I need to get to the bottom. Here, Lori, Steve. Okay, Steve says he was born 1/29/60. So that makes him an Aquarius, right? 1/29? Yes, I think. And he loves the note of red. So if he has any issues, and he's so good nutritionally and so up on everything, it's one note away from an A-sharp to a red C. You like blue-red or orange-red?
More of the orange-red and brown, those earthy tones.
Orange-reds, okay. So you're two notes away. So if there is any issue for you based on your birthday and your colors, it would indicate an electrical impulse kind of issue. From burgundy to red-orange. That's a good compatibility because it's Pisces, somebody who really loves humanity and will give of themselves. But usually the Taurus person will only give when somebody is in need. They won't go out and volunteer or look for somebody that needs help. But boy, if you're in trouble, a Taurus is a really good person to give you lots of support and energy while you need it. Where the note of B person gives you support all day long and forever. And they're very loyal. So which describes you, Steve?
You mean as far as the colors?
As far as the personality.
Well, I think the first one. I think just having a service to humanity is kind of what drives me.
Okay, that's a note of B, and that's circulation. It's small circulation like veins and capillaries. C-sharp is more connective tissue and absorption from the bowel. So those two issues, how would you take those together? Circulation of food stuff, maybe? Do you have any issues? I'd be surprised if you do, as much nutritional information as you give out on this forum.
Well, I tend to have great digestion. I can eat anything. But as far as circulation, I do tend to be cold-natured. I don't know if that's really kind of a thyroid thing or whatever. It's just always been my nature that maybe my hands or feet are a little bit chilly. I really like the warm, hot weather. As far as the colors, though, I really like the red and the orange and the brown. I kind of like it more than the other side, though.
Yeah, the orange and brown are kind of shades of each other. Brown is a very foundational, stable, sturdy color that people would lean on you for support, would see you as something stable that they could rely on. I started to say something about the note. Magnesium. Do you take extra magnesium at all?
Once in a while. Actually, I was just about to order some in bulk. I was just, hearing some other podcasts and remember the importance of that and thought, I really should go ahead and just include that in a bulk form so I can just, toss some in a smoothie or whatever.
Well, when you're looking at the B as your note and F right across, and you're looking at magnesium, which is a G, that relationship of four notes away, that's usually nutritional. So if we start here as a B and four notes away are over here, magnesium, and that's also associated with circulation. Are you surprised this kind of stuff's coming up?
No, I've seen you do it so many times.
Okay.
Any kind of a physical level issue, I would say it'd be connective tissue.
Well, that's the C sharp.
Yeah, I tend to have, if I have a little scratch or an injury or something, actually I have a few, skeletal issues. I had a car accident years ago. I think I still have maybe a little bit of weakness from those sorts of things.
Sometimes that can be associated with sulfur, which is in between those two notes, the B and the C sharp. Sulfur is a C. There's test strips now, I just found this out the other day, that can test your nitric oxide, the way your cells are respirating, and your sulfur. Very nice stuff.
Oh, wow.
I started taking some nitric oxide for restless legs, and it took it away in a day. And just that lack of circulation, when you lay still and you don't get the exchange through the cells. And if I would eat carbohydrates during the day, I would have awful restless legs. Started doing some research and found out that the carbohydrates makes each cell swell so that the nitric oxide can't move easily in and out, so the cells can't respirate. I learned stuff. I've been doing this for 30 years. I learn stuff every day of what's going on. I'm looking now at immune system and all the proteins for immune system. Wow, I'm astounded. Okay, Steve, let's jump to Pat. Pat says 1129, and she loves purple. Red purple or blue purple, Pat? Blue-purple, okay? So blue-purple is the A, and she was born, and I've lost it again. Blue. Okay, November 29th. Doesn't that make you a Capricorn? Check me out here, Richard. Okay, now it's unmuted. Pat, do you consider yourself a Capricorn? I don't want to lose my place here. A Sag. Okay, I should learn my stuff better here. Okay, a Sagittarius. G sharp, but she likes blue violet. Again, that's a genetic issue, and it's probably immune. I don't think this chart is on the site anywhere, but I know that Paulette did an incredible chart for us that has all of the birthdays and everything else on it. Let me see if I can find it easily. Charts. I don't see it here. So it must be on the other computer. No, it is not here. I should have thought of that before we started, that people would like to have that. So genetic in your case, A, management, could be methylation. Maybe we'll just do methylation next time we come together, because people tend to love that. It shows where your issues are coming from, and there's a lot of requests tonight for people to have their charts done. Okay, Kaiza. She is 6/5/58, so June 5. So do you consider yourself a Gemini, Kaiza? Oh, if you're going to chat it, I can't see it. And her favorite color are greens, yellows, and blues. Well, green, that's three notes away. And three notes away, sort of at a 90-degree angle, that's influence from other people. And you're listening to other people for more guidance than you believe in yourself. And the other one, she says, yellows and blues. Well, the yellow would be an electrical issue, and then the blues up here, that would be one note off. So directly across from Gemini is G sharp, and one note off, a G, that means a processing issue. So we'd look at electrical. We'd look at outside influences giving you grief. You know, a lot of times when you feel an energy from a person, they have the energy that you like. Maybe not the personality that you need to be with, but their energy will draw you, or a place will draw you, or the way somebody writes will draw you. And that's where you get that 90-degree angle. Working with this. So the E is going to give you some kind of bioelectric issue, and then the D and the G together, or the D and the G sharp, either a physical or a processing of physical issue. I would look at yours, and I'm taking a guess here, that it is an organ. It deals with the liver and the process of the liver and the body's ability to send electrical signals where it needs to go. Okay, I don't want to lose my place. Kaiser says, yes, 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 okay. Kathy, no, Kaiser, then Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you won a book, didn't you? Did they get your book to you? You want to open your mic and talk to us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. No, I didn't receive one.
Did you give him your address?
No, I thought my address was on file.
Well, the people who give away things at the radio is a little different from where your student file is. But we drew your name for, I'm pretty sure it was one of Jill Madsen's books.
Really?
And they would have written, I hope I'm not lying to you, they would have written to you and asked a physical address. Call Sarah tomorrow and ask her if you're the one, and if I'll check and see if I'm lying.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, 8/24. So we're dealing with Leo. Are you a Leo? No, you're
Virgo.
Pardon?
Virgo.
Virgo, you're an F. Oh, you're right on the cusp. Virgo, F. Okay, that is usually lower back. It can be kidneys or adrenal stress, and you like blue and red. Okay, the red, 1, 2, 3, 4 notes away, that's usually nutritional between the Virgo and the sea, and the other one is red and blue. So 1, 2, 4 notes away the other way. So I would look at nutritionally what's going on with kidneys and adrenals, how things are filtering, how things are detoxing, how the body is using its sodium, potassium, and calcium. So that's where I would look with you. I've never had that combination before, four one way and four the other. That's kind of neat.
Calcium, okay.
Any of that going on?
Yeah, I had an antibiotic that I think is messing with my blood sugar and kidneys, you know, been feeling kind of funny. And I do believe I have adrenal issues because I started taking an adrenal supplement and it seemed to help some.
Sometimes if it's FNF sharp, can be lower back, you know, right below your waist.
Oh, sciatica.
Yeah, can be. Combined with D-sharp, it can be sciatic.
Mm-hmm.
Only this, it's only three notes away the other direction. Sorry, instead of four. Thanks for pointing that out. So it's three notes this direction for the blue. Blue-green or blue-purple?
Blue-green.
Blue-green. So in that case, it's only two notes away. It's electrical.
What controls electrics in the body?
I'm sorry, what?
What controls the electrics in the body?
The electrolytes, potassium, calcium, sodium.
Okay.
So a lot of people who have allergies to electricity or computers, their electrolytes are off balance.
Okay, terrific.
Is that where you are?
Yes, I'm EMF sensitive.
Yep, that could be it.
Okay.
It could be that G right there.
Okay.
Look at your mineralization. You have the nutrition program, right? We give that away with the Guardians, and we're giving it away with the course that's coming up, I think the 3rd and 4th. Is that Thursday and Friday? So if you know anybody who wants to be in that course, it's free, 2 days, the software's free. Get in touch with them. It's a precursor course to our other big 5-day course, but just from what we give you in that course, if you buy a microphone, not from us, buy a microphone, you can start a bioacoustic practice. So we're trying to get this to every community.
Okay.
And if there's people listening to us that want to attend the courses, but you can't do it this time, there's a whole bunch of paperwork that we have created for you to just use what's in the tutorials and set up your practice and then how to go out and market it. And we're doing a big marketing class that's going to be open to everybody, and that's on... I think it's on the 13th of December. So put that in your calendar. And it has some very, very creative marketing things to it. But if you want that paper about how to get yourself sponsored for class, just write to me at, I'll put it in here to everybody, Sherry Edwards, Sharry, at gmail.com. So many people put in Sheri and Sherry. I ought to have bought those, but other people have them. But as soon as they become available, we're going to buy them and then shoot them over to the Sharry one. Okay, Kathy Hines, February 18th. So does that make you an Aquarius? Kathy, can you open your mic? February 18th, that's an Aquarius, and she likes cobalt blue. Boy, that would be a deep blue right here. I'm going to open my paint and show you something. When you say we want to edit colors, and when you take away the, I think it's 232 on blue, that is my favorite color of blue. Is that what you mean by cobalt, Kathy? That cobalt blue? I love that color. Here, let's make a whole pile of it for her to look at. Cobalt blue. Sometimes I'll just do that because my eyes want the color. I love cobalt blue and yellow together. So we could make a little shape here and put a really bright yellow in that shape. And you can feed yourself. So this would be E, and what color? E and G sharp, so oxygenation of your cells. So it's nice to play with those things. So she likes blue and red. So she's in the violet. She likes the blue, purple blue or red blue, cobalt blue. So she's kind of in the middle of these two, which would mean genetic. And then the yellow, oxygenation at some cellular level. So what can give you oxygenation? Any wet, moist fruit like cucumbers, melons, all of that can give you more catalase so that your cells can breathe. Nitric oxide, arginine, turns into nitric oxide if you have the right kind of issues or the right kind of nutrients. Kathy, any feedback there? She says, yep, that sounds right. Oh, our mic won't open. She loves blue and yellow together. Okay, let's go back up and see who else is here. I lost my place again. Cindy, 4/10. April 10th. So you're a C. And you love purple. Blue purple or red purple? Cindy? Well, if she is April and she's a C, but she loves blue-violet, then that's a 90 degree and that's an influence from other people. That would be a Capricorn. Organization would be an issue. She would love to see things reorganized to make a better place, a better organization, or just for understanding. She might love that. So if it's a C and a G sharp, she's four notes away, so that might be nutritional. And notes of C, I don't know what nutrients are on notes of C. Oh, okay, we're out of time. Okay, hold on just a second. Sono cards. Let's look at the notes of C. Oh, there's nothing in these cards. Let's use the ones for fatigue. So the nutrients here are PABA, ornithine, alpha-ketoglutaric acid. A lot of that deals with Krebs cycle, but that's also fatigue-related. We have several sets of these. So if you're interested in seeing what nutrients go with what note, oh, that's even C-sharp. I need to look at C. Zinc, aspartic acid, medication. Ask for the ones in general. The ones with fatigue on them don't have a lot on them. So just go back and ask for the general ones. And I don't think I have those here. Let me look. No, I don't. Well, we are out of time. That was fun. And remember that color is a big part of your life. Wearing a color you're not comfortable with is going to make you uncomfortable all day, because color has frequency. People have frequencies. And you're drawn to the frequencies that complete you. And if you just pay attention to your favorite colors, where you are for the day, where you were born. I was born a Cancer, but I love blue-violet. I am right-brained. Go with my creativity. If I try to stay with left brain, I get very agitated and frustrated. So you have my permission to be the color you are, to be the frequency you are, to listen to the music that you love, and we do have a music list. Write to us about these other charts. I'll try to get them up on the Sound Health Options site under radio. So as we go to happy hour, I will try to put some of these other charts here for you to download. If you want to be part of the free class, by all means, get in touch. Tomorrow noon is the cutoff date. Richard, I didn't get to you. Several people I didn't get to. So we may do this again if you guys find this fun. I love it when you suggest things that you want to do. I like pleasing people with the shows that we do as we share information. So thanks for being here, and we'll see you next time. We have a doctor about medicine and the horrors of medicine that's going to be on the Sunday show. So join us then. Richard, thank you.
Thank you. That was fun, as always, watching you stare into the crystal ball. It's always amazing.
Just the colors.
I know. It's just the colors, but it's still just like, you know, as they say, nailed it. Thank you. Everybody have a great rest of the week. We'll see you on Sunday. Bye.
Later.